Hello. All right, welcome everyone. Probably should have introduced Ben. And before we went and shook hands and everything, but Ben's from
Deerfield,
right? I'm going to get it. And his lovely wife, Emily, who I thought was his daughter. And and his Isaac and Noah, his two sons, and Caitlin. So without any further ado, I'll turn it over to Ben.
Some shenanigans usually before I preach, and you guys will find out what those are for different purposes. Have any of you guys ever driven down the road sometimes, or maybe you're just like, especially at springtime, and God wakes up the eyes of your heart. He awakened you. Anybody ever have that before, like God awakened you in the springtime? I was driving down the road the other day. You know, you take things for granted a lot of times. You take the trees for granted, the sky for granted, you take the people around you for granted. And I was driving down the road the other day after having some honey vanilla Reve. And I'll talk about that more later. But I just had one of those like opportunities from God, where he opened the eyes of my heart and he made me feel like this was all for me. Like the trees are for me, the sky was for me. And I felt like God was giving me like a bouquet to me, just like me. Like he was romancing me a little bit. And then I started thinking about people's personalities. Because God just doesn't give us like the beauty of like trees and the beauty of the sky. He also gives us one another. So it's one of the reasons why I love gathering church like anywhere. Is that like seriously, yes, the trees are a part of the bouquet for you, for God to tell you, he loves you. He's romancing you a bit. Girl and guy. And the sky is a part of that also. It was made for you personally. Yes, for the people around you, but for you personally, but also all these personalities are here. They're made for you to take in, to treasure. I just want to start off that way a little bit today. I loved how you guys sound. Like, every congregation is a little bit different. You guys have great congregational singing. Like, seriously, everybody can be heard. It's yummy goodness for the heart of the pig. So, thank you for that. One of the things that I do before I start a sermon, because I'm a talker and I'm loud, and one of the ways that I balance that out is I do 1 minute of silence. And the reason why we do 1 minute silence at our church before the sermon is just for us to center on God and to work the muscle in our lives like we should do this other places in our lives. Set apart time. We're just still before God. To be still and know that he is God. But a lot of times we'll guide people to certain thoughts. It could be for healing. It could be for lots of things to think about. An unsaved love member. An unsaved member of your family or a friend, lots of things. But today, what I want you to bring before God is your troubles and your fears. What is troubling you and what do you have fear over in this season of your life? And during this 1 minute of silence, I just want you to bring that to God as it comes up. Let it come up, but to give it over. So 1 minute of silence between you and God, and then I'll be back with you in just a minute. 1 minute silence between you and God. Your troubles and your fears. 1 minute starting now. Okay, now I'm going to teach you a little bit of a song to go along with it, because we want to We're bringing up these troubles and fears to give them to God, not just keep them, right? So I'll sing it, and maybe it gets in your head so you can sing it throughout your week a little bit. But it goes like this. There goes my troubles. There goes my fears. Good morning, Jesus. I'm glad you're here. There goes my troubles. There goes my fears. Good morning, Jesus. We're glad you're here. Then you sing the one part three times then. There goes my troubles. There goes my fears. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Jesus. We're glad you're here. So, sometimes you gotta like take it in. You just gave your troubles and fears to God, right? You don't just pray, you follow up after that, that he actually has it. Well, I brought this morning, but before I get to this also, I'm gonna use a certain object lesson. Sometimes I use object lessons, sometimes I don't. Can everybody hear me, or do you want me to use this?
No, we hear you.
You're good? I'm a loud person. And you guys are probably used to my friend Bill. He's a loud person too sometimes. But I'm going to give somebody something this morning just to start it. I want to make sure this mic doesn't drop. But does anybody here like strawberry ice cream? Okay. I'm sorry that I'm not going to give this to everybody right now, but this serves a purpose that I'm going to do here in just a moment. You guys will find this out as we get into the sermon just for a moment. I'm going to give it to Chris, and I want you guys to pay attention. Chris eating this ice cream this morning. Do you like ice cream too?
Jealous?
Yeah.
Do you like mint chocolate chip or strawberry butter?
Mint chocolate chip.
And what's your name?
Hunter.
Hunter? Come on up here. Now, does this cone look okay for you to put ice cream on? You're comfortable with that?
Yeah,
I
have like a cup.
Oh yeah, I don't think I have a cup this morning. This is okay?
Yeah, we'll survive.
Okay, so let me put this on here. Maybe you get some more later, but I'm just going to give you this. Does this look safe to eat for you? Does it look safe? You want a little bit more?
Yeah.
Okay. I was looking at that, and I don't want to rob you this morning. So, here's, wait a second. Ooh, sorry. I washed my hands sometime in the last 24 hours. I want you to know that, Hunter.
Yeah, no,
all right, I want you to enjoy.
Thanks.
Okay, and then Chris, I'm going to have you do this too, just because of the purpose of why I'm doing this today. We'll see in just a moment. And once again, I want you to know I've never served ice cream in front of people on a Sunday morning before.
I don't have to have any, thank you.
Oh, I know, but I want you to.
You know, right?
Put your hand up. I was dumb enough to put my hand up.
No, you revealed something, and it's beautiful what you revealed. So just give me a moment while all of you guys watch these two people getting ice cream.
What have I done?
For them right now. Bro. All right, so yummy. I'm not going to lick it before I get there this morning. I'm sorry. I'll pick that up and I'll eat that part. I have a great immune system, and it keeps on building every time I do that.
That goes beyond holding snakes.
Let me put this away for right now because I want to use it again here in just a little bit. So, my name is Ben, and I come from Deerfield Friends. We've been there for about 4 years this summer, and we lived in Canton, went to First Friends in Canton, for about 20 years of my life. And my kids all grew up there, and this is my wife, Emily. If you guys want to say hi to her, you can if you want.
Hi, Emily.
Okay. And we have Noah and Isaac. They're both 15 and a half. They just got their temps a little while ago. They're doing good. They really are. They're doing great. And then we have Caitlin. And I used to always say, I don't bring that up anymore. I always remember her the most. She's worth remembering. She's our darling girl, and I'm wrapped around her finger. Anybody here have a daughter that you're wrapped around their finger? Yes. But it's a pleasure to be here with you this morning. And one of the reasons why I'm here today is because three guys, we're going to call them Bill Quigley, Billy Krills, and Ben Crossley. They have this desire to like actually swap like congregations. Last year we did it. I think Billy might have been here last year. You guys remember Billy?
Yep.
He's been a really good friend of mine for a long time. And we have this desire as friends to point to the importance of unity in church. Because for ourselves and the congregations that we serve at, we want to remind people that there's more than where we're at. Like, you know, we take that, like, we could know that, but then kind of like the bouquet of the sky and the trees, like, you can actually experience it in different ways. So physically going to other places and you guys seeing like a representative of another place, or us seeing how church is done somewhere else, it does something to us. You guys are making me so happy eating those ice cream cones right now. Like, seriously, I'll get there in a moment. Once again, we're part of something bigger than our lives and our individual corners of the world. We believe it's God's will for unity to happen. One of the best things that you can get, that you can give a friend, is to get along with another friend. One of the best things that a parent and another parent can give to their kids is to actually get along, even if it's 5 minutes out of the week. Like, I remember Mom and Dad used to get along 5 minutes out of the week. To seek to please God's will is what Bill and Billy and I are trying to do. And I hope that you're here for that reason today also. But going along with the message today is called God's Will. Whose will do you seek to please in your life? Whose will would you say that you seek to please? You don't need to answer me right now. But maybe it's a friend. Anybody here ever seek to please a friend's will? Like you have a friend that wants something to do in your life? And yeah. Maybe it's a spouse. Anybody here ever tried to please a spouse's will? How about a boss? Anybody here ever tried to actually please your boss's will? Or even an animal. I have this dog. Maybe you can relate. Sometimes I'll take a nap on the couch or I'll end up on the couch for some reason, right? And I'm just sleeping there. And then my dog, we have this beagle, like beagle and a bulldog put together. He'll come and bring his like good-sized head while I'm sleeping. And he'll put it up above my hand. Because he has a will to like for me to pet him. And so I get to decide, like, get away from me or fulfill my dog's will of getting petted. Maybe you can relate. Maybe it's you that you seek to please. It's usually a common thing. People seek to please their will. And God's given us lots of things to be pleased in our life. It's one of the biggest things that points to a creator for me is our senses. Maybe one of our senses could maybe like have been evolved over billions of years and like here, but I just don't see like these number of senses evolving to be like such pleasure givers for us to interact with. Like it really points to your creator for me. But our eyes, God gave us our eyes to be pleased. And we have a will sometimes to do with our eyes to put them on certain things. Our nose buds, I don't know what to call them other than nose buds, but our noses. Some people don't like the smell of certain things, but they have a will, a desire to smell other things. Our ears, even our skin, and of course, our taste buds. Now, Chris and Hunter, are your taste buds been pleased at all?
Yeah.
Were they pleased? Chris, was yours, are they being pleased? Oh, good, 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 good. But if you're here today in a church, I bet you it's just not other people's desires or will that you're interested in pleasing, or even your will that you're interested in pleasing. I bet you there's at least a few in our midst here today that are interested in pleasing God's will. Because if you believe in God and we're created in His image, He has a will also. He has things that brings Him pleasure. And things that does not bring him pleasure. So if you brought your Bibles today, whether they're on your phone or your page Bible that we like to call, at Deerfield Friends. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 4. That's where Brother Quigley said that you guys are at today. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to talk about two areas of our life that God cares about our desires in. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, and those are purity and hope. And to help us to prompt just memory making, because a lot of times seeing an object and relating them to something is what helps us to remember something. We're going to use an ice cream cone. And that's the reason why I passed out ice cream cones this morning to you two. And I'll have some more if somebody else wants some ice cream at the end of this. But I've got this cone, and we're going to start off with a cone today. So this is going to represent purity this morning. And you'll see why here in a few moments why I'm saying this. And you can let me know later, like at the end, you're like, that was a terrible metaphor. You're going to have to use something else in the future. Or you could be like, you know, I think I'm going to remember that one every time that I eat an ice cream cone. Now, once again, if I get anything up here too dirty, let me know. My dad taught me the most important part of a job is cleaning up the mess at the end. So my dad said. So I don't want to be an unloving neighbor to you guys today. But the cone represents this. What do I do with it? Now, I get lost sometimes, so I'll need your guys' help to point stuff, right? I'm used to people interacting with me, but you guys are used to Bill. He makes you interact a lot with him, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. But first, the cone, and this is going to represent purity. Purity is like the integrity of a cone. If life does not have integrity or purity, a lot of times it's our purity that makes up our integrity. It's like ice cream on a smash cone. Now, you said yes, and you were even looking for, like, do I have a bowl or something? But a lot of times, maybe you had a parent where they had to do this, but a lot of times, if somebody did this, right, just out of, and they served it this way to you at the ice cream stand, with some ice cream on them. Like, it's kind of hard to take a hold of that, right? There's not much integrity in the cone. Like, it needs, like, it's messed up, it's smashed. And it's like, what am I going to do with that? Because you're probably not going to lick out of their hands. Especially people you don't know. Anybody here, they would do that? Anybody here, they would lick it out of somebody you don't know's hand? Smash just like that? Yes, there's some of us like that. As long as they lick it out of our hands afterwards too, right? It's too far. It's like, I don't know if I want to interact with that. In verses 3 through 8 in 1 Thessalonians 4, God gives us a vision of Christian purity or Christian integrity in certain areas of our life especially. And I'm going to read verses 3 through 8 to start off because, once again, this is the purity part. God cares about our desires in our life. He cares about these desires and all the desires that I brought up before with all of our senses. But 3 through 8, it says, it is God's will, meaning this is what brings him pleasure, that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, not live a life of integrity. God has not called us to live a life that is not full of integrity. He's called us a life to live a life that is full of integrity. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life, a set-apart life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. So, I want to answer this question today, just for this part of, once again, I smashed the cone. I can't use an example anymore, even, for this, but we'll use a smashed cone in a moment again. For this part of purity or integrity, what does the integrity of purity look like? When somebody says pure, what does that look like? What's integrity mean? And the Bible says, we found that out in a few different ways. A word called sanctify. It's God's will for it. A word meaning the process of God setting us apart for his special purposes. Another way of saying it is letting Christ shape every area of our life. There was a time in our lives where, without Jesus, we just shape every area of our life. Or we let somebody else shape every area of our life. It's a dangerous thing to let another person shape every area of your life. It's a dangerous thing for a husband to let a wife shape every area of his life. It's a dangerous thing for a wife to let her husband shape everything. I will even say it's a dangerous thing, as kids are growing up in a house, to let your parents shape every area of your life. There is a time that you must take responsibility. We all have many desires in our life, starting when we're very little. What to look at, what to taste, where to go, our sexual desires, like this passage is saying. What to let come out of our mouth, and even what to keep thinking about. Because they brought up earlier today, worrying. Like, it's one thing to worry. We all worry a little bit. You're worried this week at all? Anybody worried this week at all? It's one thing to worry. It's another thing to feed it. Desires are good, but when they lead our life, and God is not at the helm of the ship of our lives, the danger is any desire can end up leading our life. And we find that in congregations all the time. There are things that are related to sexual desires that totally people's lives go in left field and out of the ballpark for a long time. There can be, oh man, I really do have to sweep now. And that comb broke. Oh no, there you are. Sorry. But it could be alcohol. It could be gossip. People's desire just to gossip. It can get out of control. Has anybody here ever had a desire that got out of control? Anybody here ever had a desire that got out of control? We all can relate. That's why we're all in the same boat. We can't look down on each other. We're all in the same boat. They can truly mess us up. And our lives can look like a smashed ice cream cone. It's hard to put anything good on them. Because there's no integrity. There's no integrity of the cone to keep anything good on. And some of us really don't want to lick out of people's hands. Especially people we don't know. Maybe you've even experienced the mess of being led by desire yourself. So the question is, after we receive Jesus, or we're learning about Jesus, how do we cooperate with God shaping our desires in our life? Because when you become a Christian, that's what you're saying. It's not just that you believe that he died on a cross for your sins so you could be reconnected with God and have the hope of heaven and be connected with Jesus and saved from self. But how do we let him be Lord now? Because we're not just asked to make him our Savior. We're asked to make him our Lord. He is the one who gets to be in control, at the lead, the captain of our ship. We're no longer the captain of our ship when we say, Jesus, you are Lord. He is the captain of our desires. So ways to do this, that what we just read in this passage a bit. In Christ, one way is to pursue what is holy and honorable. And that's one of the reasons why people read the Bible. You find out what to pursue. I love this one passage in Colossians chapter 3. It's a great passage to memorize, like especially if you're battling with stuff. I memorize different things because I battle with a lot of things. But it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. I love those phrases. Then it says what to do. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Pursue them. Pursue those things. Seeking to be led by God's commands and not our commands. Sometimes we have to stop listening to somebody else's commands. Some of us need to stop listening to our spouses. It's true. Some of us need to stop listening to, it's sad, some people do need to stop raising in certain homes. They need to stop listening to their parents in some ways. For most people, though, they need to start listening to their spouses. And for most kids, they need to keep listening to your parents. seeking to be led by God's commands, his values, his sweet love of Jesus' pleasures, rather than worldly passions. I love the verse in Psalms about delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what?
Desires of your heart.
See, you're biblical. The desires of your heart. Delighting in the Lord helps transform us. This is the danger of God giving us the ability to delight in things and with pleasure. What we delight in forms us. So if I delight in alcohol too much, and I've had alcohol in my life, and I've liked it in certain parts of my life more than I have in other parts, it can transform me. And other things can also transform me. I like words a lot. I'm pleased using words even. I grew up in a family where they like to use words. But if I let words control me, they transform me. But I love this so much. God has given us things that he wants us to take delight in. And him being one of them. And when we pursue things and we take steps of delighting in him each day, we will find ourselves getting transformed. Even what we desire will transform. And it's part of the process of God making us a life of integrity again. There's so many ways to delight in the Lord. Sharing what you find holy and good with somebody else. Prayer, trees. I talk about trees because I almost have a relationship with trees. It's fair to say I'm probably a bit of a tree hugger. I'm okay cutting them down like a bit. But seriously, I could talk about trees like a lot. And I promise you, I'm sober. I can go along about trees a lot. But the Bible, forgiveness, smiling even, a song, a skill, all these things we can delight in the Lord with. And I love this part, even with a friend. It brings God so much pleasure when we share the good with the people around us. It's one of the ways that we can delight in the Lord. Another way to cooperate with God's sanctifying work in our lives is to be on guard against wronging people and taking advantage of people, even with sexual desires. But it could be a lot of different things. You ever wronged somebody or took advantage of them? Maybe with their time, their money, even sexual desires, as the passage says. It's real. You know, it's one of the reasons why I like the Bible. The Bible is real. But guarding ourselves against evil and wrong is one of the ways to let God continue to do his work in our lives. When we just say yes to every desire that is wrong, we're probably stiff-arming God quite a bit. Quite a bit. It's always a good question to ask when interacting and responding with a desire that comes to us. How is this going to impact the people around me? I don't always do that. Especially with my words. I have a desire to share many words. And if you ask each of my family members, I've had words where I don't think I was thinking about them very much when I was expressing them in my house. And actions, alone and when I'm with a group of people. How is this going to impact the people that are around me? And this is so important because it fulfills one of God's greatest commands. To actually love the people around us. To love our neighbor as ourselves. Remembering that our interactions with others and how we live is not just a call to love the people around us, the humans around us, but it's how we live either rejects or welcomes God according to this passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians 4. The God who gives us of his Holy Spirit. With the metaphor of the cone, once again, I love this. So you see the smash cone. This is where the power of God comes in. And maybe you're this type of life also. See these things? I should pick up. Like, seriously, I made a mess. You guys do have vacuums?
Nope.
I'm going to have to clean it up all. Who's the guy that wants, okay, eating out of people's hands? You and I need to be on our hands and knees after service up here together.
No problem.
We got to get these crumbs off the floor. But you guys see it, the difference? Some of our lives look like that.
Yeah, that's me.
A lot of our lives, smashed, right?
Smashed.
Some of our lives might look like this a little bit more, right? This is the power of God. I love this part of God. With the metaphor of the cone, there's great news. God can transform a messy, smashed up life back into a life of integrity.
Amen. Amen.
Back into a life of purity.
Amen.
And the more we open ourselves up to God, and maybe you've seen it, even in your language, for some of us, maybe even our sexual behavior, for some of us, even maybe in our thought life, and with our words, we have watched it happen. It's one of the reasons why we come to church, is to see other people like, oh, maybe there's some, we'll get to this here in a moment, hope. Maybe there's some hope that my life can go from smashed to be able to put some good stuff on it. I mean, I'm starting to want an ice cream cone also. Because I'm thinking about you guys eating that ice cream. God can transform a messy life of impurity and lack of integrity, a smashed life, to one of soundness, to one that can hold the goods of life. Like a solid cone to put a cone of ice cream on, it all starts with coming to God, the God of purity and integrity. Have you come to the God of purity and integrity lately?
Yes.
It's one of the reasons why you read his word, to see what purity and integrity looks like. To the one who sent his son, Christ Jesus, to die on a cross for our impurities and to follow him as Lord. All who put their trust in him can start and continue this process of God making our life into one of integrity or purity. The second area of God's will that I want to talk about today, or this is just a 1-2 punch type of sermon today. This was the first part, the cone today. But then, what's on top here today? Strawberry. I should start just eating in front of you guys. It smells so good too. Didn't it smell good? I see you licking your lips still. It's almost like you're enjoying the taste afterwards. But the second area of God's will, his desires in our lives, that I want to talk about today is hope. And I'm comparing hope to the ice cream of an ice cream cone today. Hope in ice cream is what gets us to the ice cream stand. Most people don't go to the ice cream stand for, man, I keep losing it. You guys are, I see none of you pointing. Oh, thank you. I need that. Most of us don't go to the ice cream stand for this, do we?
No.
Do any of you guys like think about this before you get to the ice cream stand? You think about this, right? And what flavor is going to be there? It has the power to make you go from east to west. You could be driving a different direction. And you're like, I think I need to turn around. I know it's 30 miles out of the way. But I need some ice cream. Thinking about it gets us moving in the right direction. Hope is a big part of God's will in our lives. Show me a life that does not have much hope in it, and you'll see a life that is not moving very well. It's one of the reasons why people start going to church or start picking up a Bible. Their life gets hopeless because they're stuck or they're going the opposite direction that they want to go. They're like, I need some new desires. I need for some new hope. Things not working out the way we want. A bad spiritual warfare day. The other day, that's the reason why I'm saying that. Or even a loss can be enough to just take the hope out of us. Anybody here ever had the hope taken out of you? Anybody here? Sucker punched you right out of you. Any of you here ever had a day where it's hard to come to church even? Because it's like, I had this. I was raised in the church, raised to believe, had my childhood faith, and when I became a young adult, sucker punched out of me. And there were different seasons of my life where it's weird going from belief to, I don't know if I believe, to, I don't think I believe. And going to church, weird feelings and thoughts. Or, God, last Sunday I trusted you. I had a lot of hope and trust in you last Sunday. I gotta be honest. Can I be honest here? Is this a place that I could be honest? Yeah. This is what we come into. Not just for myself today. I gotta be honest, I have some hope and trust in this one. But there's been Sundays where we look and we go to church and you're like, can I be honest? My trust is gone. My hope is gone. Can I be honest here? That's what we ask. That's what we're looking for. What has pulled at your hope in your life? Was it a bad spiritual warfare day? Was it somebody saying or not saying something? Was it you messing up? Is it just questions and doubts? Is it you messing up too many times? And you're like, oh, I think I'm a lost cause. I think the hope's gone. God is in the business of hope. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, dealing with this, what brings pleasure to God, and he wants this in our lives in a certain way, ministers to the believers here in this city called Thessalonica, dealing with the loss of loved ones. That's what they're interacting with, the loss of loved ones. In verses 13 through 17, he encourages them with their future with Jesus to deal with this issue in their life, these questions they have with loss of loved ones. It says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Could you guys stand up for these last two verses? Any way you can stand up for these last two verses? Go ahead and elbow the person next to you. Go ahead and elbow the other person next to you. Then go ahead and look in their eyes a little bit. And if you're just waking up right now, go ahead and do the stretching. Seventh inning stretch in church. Waking up. For these last two verses. "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." And then here's the part where I wanted you to stand up. So I'm going to have you do something here in just a moment. "Therefore, encourage one another with these words." So can you guys just say to one another around you,
neighbor,
"He's coming back and there is a future." Can you go ahead and tell us the people around you? "He's coming back and there is a future." Okay, you guys can sit back down. If you want to encourage one another with that later also. They say that marriages fail, and maybe in any group size, there's usually marriages or relationships that fail in the past. One of the reasons why a marriage or a relationship fails is they stop having goals with one another. They stop looking forward to something. One of the reasons why I think that faith fails sometimes, and many of us, maybe in our own lives, we watch our kids, grandkids, friends, neighbors, parents even, lots of people, we've watched faith fail. One of the reasons is that people stop hoping that it's going to get better. There stops being a goal moving forward. So what do we see here in this passage about hope? The Bible does not say to not grieve. Isn't that great news? I love that. The Bible does not say not to grieve. It says to grieve differently, though. With hope. It's the point of the resurrection of Jesus. It's the point of spring. He has massaged this into our reality. There is a next chapter after our worst days. After we have sinned greatly, there is mercy and grace. Yes, there might be consequences also, but there is mercy and grace. Surely, his goodness and mercy follows us. It's the point of the resurrection of Jesus. There is more life after this one we've been invited into to look into. And the scriptures has things to say about it. And in this passage, it just reveals some stuff about the future, some specifics. So much of this passage talks about the details of when Jesus comes back in the future. And we can put our minds on that. We can memorize that a bit. We can write new songs about it. Somebody can make a dance about it. Somebody was telling me about the prayer candle a little bit earlier. He was telling me about the prayer candle. David was telling me about the prayer candle. You can make ice cream into like a prayer candle. When you eat different flavors of ice cream, you can pray for different things. I can make up songs about when I eat different flavors of ice cream. And it includes us and those we have who have died in Jesus when we think about the future. Those who receive Jesus, the future includes you. And for many of us here, there's people that we look forward to that we have grieved over in our past. But those in Jesus, we will interact with again. And sometimes, I'm a baby in my eyes many times. I'm 45 years old. My grandfather's 93, and about 20-something years ago, he told me that I was a baby. And ever since then, he's still alive. I think like, man, I am so much younger than him. I am a baby. But I have to be honest, I've had a number of people pass away in my life. I look forward to interacting with them again. And I have found throughout my Christian life, as I put my mind with God, he makes it more real, rather than just blah, 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 blah talk. It like he opens the eyes of my heart to make it more real. And that's one of the benefits of a walk with God. He makes that hope in the future more real. And there are mighty reunion experiences to come. Mighty reunion. I look forward to meeting to interact with my great-grandpa Tobias, and who had such an impact on my life. And him introducing me to all the people that had an impact on his life. I love that thought. The last part of hope we see here is that we are supposed to encourage one another with this. Just not use it for ourselves. We're supposed to encourage one another with these words. The hope becomes tastier when we share it. It's one of the reasons why I gave it to you guys today. And maybe you guys want to share an ice cream cone with somebody. I don't have a whole lot of ice cream. But maybe you want to come put some ice cream in a cone. And maybe you want to take a bite and then give it to the other person too. But hope becomes tastier when you share it. And let us be challenged every day. There are so many that need that tasty pleasure for their heart, soul, and mind. Hope. There's so many people, and maybe there's even somebody here today that really needed to hear this. There's so many people that are just looking for a little bit of hope. That things are going to get better. Some despair can be changed into some goodness. They won't be stuck forever. There's a guy at our church right now, I'm afraid that he's stopped coming, quit some things. And he's given up hope. I've watched that. What's it look like to interact with a life that has even walked with hope and given up on hope? So I leave you with this today. Engage the ice cream cone thought today. Engage the ice cream cone thought. There's two parts, remember? I'm eating this one. Maybe I'll share it with somebody. Ah, it smells so good. I am going to eat it in front of you here in a few moments while we sing our last song. Ah, this one's for me. Maybe I'll give you guys a lick. And if anybody wants to come up to lick it with my family, you can. But two things. How is God calling you to cooperate with fixing the cone, the integrity of your life? What's God laying on your heart today? How is he asking you to take steps towards him? That's the first. Second, who is God calling you to encourage with some ice cream? With some hope? Open yourself up to God. Ask him. The Holy Spirit can give people into your heart and mind. And it might just be you, even. Maybe you need to go home and look in that mirror and tell yourself some of these truths today. And then enjoy the ice cream cone. I'm going to have an experience. This will be up here after the lesson. Pray with me. Father in heaven.
Father in heaven.
I do give you thanks. That you have prepared so much goodness for us in our lives. And Father, you know what is represented here that needs to be worked on this week even. What needs to be confessed freshly to invite your sanctifying work to purify us. For you said that when we confess, you come and purify us. I praise you that you're the high-tech God. Father, I praise you that each person here you found worth dying for by sending Christ Jesus to die on a cross. And I praise you, Father, so much that you found each person here worth raising from the dead for. and I ask that you help us to interact with your death and resurrection in our life more. And Father, you know the people that are coming to our minds today. Give us a spirit of perseverance and follow through to actually share some ice cream, some hope with somebody today. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I think I'm supposed to give you this thing called a benediction.
Yes.
To all of you. So you're behind me too, though. So I'm giving it to you guys as well, to all of you. At Deerfield Friends, we end almost every service this way. And one of the reasons why I like to welcome people, even in different churches I go to, is that as a part of the body of Christ, I consider I'm a part of every church. So I want to tell you, if nobody's told you that they loved you today, we at Bethany Friends love you. Right?
Right.
Right.
We love you. But Jesus loves you more. Please go share that in some way with somebody, even if it's through some ice cream. Have a good day.
Thank you.